I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says that regardless of what's going on, the Lord always makes a way of escape. There is a way out of whatever you're dealing with. There is a way through it. There's a way over it. There's a way to victory. And it starts and ends with God and faith in God. And even though you don't might not have a clue how you could get through this or out of this, begin by making a decision, God can get me out of this. The Lord can help me with this. Believe it and say it. And then look to Him to show you what to believe and what to say and what to do. And when you do what He shows you to do, then He'll do what nobody else can do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. But that's how it always works. That's how miracles work. You know, Jesus' mother said to Him at the wedding feast, the first miracle, whatever He says to you, do it. Well, before you're going to hear anything that He said, you got to give Him your attention and be ready. And her telling them that prepared them then to hear what He told them. And then them hearing it and being willing to do it is what caused the miracle to happen. And so believe that today, even today right now, some things will come out that'll help you for the next steps for your miracle. I'm telling you by the Spirit of the Lord, there's a miracle for you. You can come out of this. You can get through it. You can overcome it. And I mean to the point where in just a few days and weeks, you look back, and even though it seems so tormenting right now, what happened seems like a bad dream that happened to somebody else.
That's right.
And you'll give the glory to God. Everybody said out loud, Father,
Father,
I yield myself to You. And I submit my entire life, to You. And I say, not my will, but Your will be done. I ask You, Lord,
show me what to do
about every situation
in my life.
And I thank You
for making a way of escape.
A way out,
a way through,
a way over. And I say,
Lord,
get glory to Yourself in me,
in victory,
in You,
in
Jesus' name. Amen. So be it. Hallelujah. We've been on a series for some weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision, giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like to hear you say that. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. You believe that? Or? A lot of people don't. A lot of people believe that doing without, experiencing lack, hard times, poverty, is a part of God's will and plan for your life. But what's that belief based on? I'm giving you reason by reason in the Scriptures. If you say, well, I don't believe that. I believe that God wants us broke sometimes. Where's your Scriptures? Where's your 30 biblical reasons to believe that? Well, if it's just something based on what people have decided to believe in some religious tradition, you better get rid of that. Because that'll just make the Word of God of no effect. in your life. But if you embrace the Word, even though you might have been born into the worst poverty, you might have experienced horrible lack. And you know, you don't have to have a ton of wisdom to realize poverty's bad.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's bad.
Yes.
You know, it can put you in so many bad situations where you got no choice. Mm-hmm. Resources give you choices.
Yes.
Amen.
Resources give you options.
Yes.
And when you're so poverty stricken, you got no option. At least you don't think you do. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And you can come out. But you'll be hindered and limited if you keep believing this stuff about God for some reason, you know, chose that my parents and I, our family be born in this abject poverty. And you know, I may be poor, but I'm proud. God will deliver you from both conditions if you let Him. Proud's not okay. Proud of what? No, it's okay to boast in God. It's okay to be thankful. But no, you want to let the Lord raise you up and add to you. The glory is not in the poverty, but in being brought out of the poverty.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the testimony.
Yes.
It's not being in the sin, but being delivered from the sin.
Amen.
And it's not being sick, it's being delivered from the bondage
Amen.
Of sickness.
Hallelujah.
And that's what the good news is. And I, for one, am not ashamed
Amen.
Of the good news. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say, good news, good news, good news. So we've gone through 8 previous reasons. We're down to number 9, honor and riches. Look with me again to Proverbs 3 and 9. He said, honor the Lord with your substance. Like we said, that word honor is also translated glorify. The word substance is some 17 times in the same Bible. King James translated wealth or riches. In fact, it's translated that a lot more than it is substance. So it'd be entirely accurate and precise to read it like this. Glorify the Lord with your wealth. Or glorify the Lord with your riches. Well, you would need some. Right?
Right?
Do the Lord expect you to glorify Him with wealth and riches and you never have any your whole life?
No.
That means you can't do this verse.
Right.
How's that the will of God? It could never be the will of God. He said the result of that is your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses will burst out with new wine. We saw this principle from 1 Samuel where the Lord said, those that honor me, I will honor. And here, talking about honoring the Lord with your substance and first fruits of all your increase, then the very next verse says, the Lord's going to honor you with so much increase that you run out of space. Can He do it?
Yes, He can.
Is it true?
Yes.
In the NIRV says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Give Him the first share of all your crops. Then your storerooms will be so full they can't hold everything. Your huge jars will spill over with fresh wine. Increase. God's not the God of lack. We talked about that on yesterday's class, about how the Scripture talks about in heaven, in praising Jesus, praising the Lamb, they attribute to Him honor and glory and riches, and wisdom and power and strength. Riches, riches. And then in the latter part of the book, when He talks about the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, He said the nations that are saved and the people that are saved will come and bring their glory and their treasures and their riches into the city where there is no night. Is this true?
Yes.
Well, see, that's not some wide-eyed preacher that connected the idea of riches and glory. It's always been in the Word. It's always been there. Let me read another couple of instances to you, because I know you don't get tired of Scriptures. Amen. Hmm? Amen. Scriptures takes it out of your opinion and my opinion. In Isaiah 61:6, Isaiah 61:6 says, "You'll be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves." Riches and glory in the same verse. Somebody say, "Well, look at that." Riches and glory in the same verse. You know, the Lord said this in Haggai, the first chapter. We talk about putting the Lord first, and Proverbs 3 said that. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." And he was talking about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, all natural things, natural things. And he said the Gentiles, and these are people without covenant with God, which we used to be, but they seek after all these things. And he said, "Your Father knows that you have need of all these things, and it's his pleasure to give you the whole kingdom, but he requires this, that you seek him first." Not the wealth, not the riches, but him. First, but by honoring him, it allows him to honor you in numerous ways, including riches or wealth or stuff or substance. And in Haggai, the first chapter, without going into all the detail, he said, "Go up to the mount." They were waiting and delaying to repair and build the Lord's house. And they kept putting it off, putting it off. One of their big things was saying, "It's not time. It's not time." He said, "Well, is it time for you to live in your big house?" You know, the Lord talks plain if we listen to him, right? While he said, "My house lies waste." So they're violating the first principle of prosperity, which is putting him first, not yourself. So they're saying, we have to wait on the things of God. And he said, "Well, I see you're taking care of your house real good." And so he said, verse 8, Haggai 1:8, "Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house." He's talking about his house. "And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord." Glorified in what? Them building the house. Using the resources. He said, Young's literal translation says it like this: "Go up to the mountain and bring the wood and build the house, and I'm pleased with it and I am honored, says Jehovah." With what? This is giving. Resources. A building. But it honored the Lord. Why? Let's talk about the other side of it. His temple place, lying there in ruins, charred remains of what was once a beautiful building, does that glorify God?
No.
Does that honor the Lord?
No.
So that's what we were talking about earlier, that when he talks about heaven, there is no junk in heaven. There is no dilapidated, worn out, you know, deteriorated, frayed. You won't come across any place in the house of God, in the dwelling place of God, in the heavenly New Jerusalem, and go, "Man, they need to paint that. They need to fix that. Look at that. Would you look at those potholes in the road, man?" Nope. Nope. Now think with me. When you go to a town and you see that kind of thing, what's the problem? Lack of money.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Lack of money. And that's what you'll hear the elected officials talking about. We need more money. And usually they say taxes. Yeah. We need to tax you some more. Yeah. And a lot of times people are unhappy with that because they've been taxing and they ain't been spending the money on the home. Huh? They're like, hey, take what you got and fix the hole. Yeah. And there's something to that. But it all comes back to lack of money, lack of wealth, lack of riches. That's why people start letting things go. Can't fix this. Can't repair this. Can't replace this. So it just gets older. Mm-hmm. And then it breaks down more. And sometimes when this breaks down, it affects this and causes this to break down. And then when you didn't fix the water leak, huh? Now you got the ceiling messed up, and now you got corroded wiring. Y'all with me?
Yes.
What am I talking about? One word, poverty. 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 Lack. Well, is God into old and busted?
No.
Huh?
No.
Rusty?
No.
Worn out? Frayed?
No.
Does he take any kind of pleasure in that?
No.
Seeing junkie?
No.
Does he want his places where his people meet of worship to be the cheapest, oldest, junkiest places in town? Does he?
No.
He does not. Because that does not glorify him. Broke does not glorify him. Now, if you are broke and if you are in complete lack, that doesn't mean God don't like you. He just doesn't like your condition. You shouldn't like your condition. Right? No. God's never going to agree with you that nasty and old and broke is good. He's never going to agree with you about that. He wants you to glorify Him and to honor Him. So here was the Lord's house, physical structure, had been destroyed and broken down. There were splintered timbers, glass shards, burnt and molded pieces of material. It's a disaster. And it's just been sitting there and laying there month after month and year after year. And the Lord cares about it.
Yes.
Can you see this? If you haven't done it, read Haggai. It's just two little chapters. Read them carefully and you'll see what I'm talking about. That's this whole thing. He says, hey, what about my house? Huh? And people kept saying, well, it's not time. Not time. Now, see, they're not saying we're never going to fix the Lord's house. What are they saying? We're not able right now. We just can't get to it right now. He said, well, your house is in good shape.
Yeah.
Huh? What about your house? You're living in a sealed house. See, his house didn't even have a ceiling. It'd been destroyed. And then he said, consider your ways. Check up on yourself. He said, you don't have enough. You earn your wages and it seems like you put them in a bag with a hole in the bottom. And you don't have enough. And you're coming short. And you're coming short. Why? Can you see the principle here? Are they honoring God?
No.
They are not honoring God. They're honoring themselves above God. Can He honor them?
No,
they're not experiencing blessing. They're not experiencing increase. They're not getting ahead. In fact, it's that old thing of taking a step forward and getting knocked back too. That's what they're experiencing, and it's the result of no honor, not honoring God. He said, consider your ways. And that's when he got to this. He said, go to the mountain, that's the forest, where the forests were, get the wood, come back, build the house. And if you look to the second chapter, he said, and watch what I'll do for you. He said, from this day, the day you started building my house, he said, he began to describe, he said, blessing's going to come on you. Increase is going to come on you. What? How? You said it like this. From the day you started honoring the Lord.
Amen.
From the day you started putting him first, that's the day things turned around for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Honor and riches. Honor and wealth. If you're smart, if the church needs carpet and your house needs carpet, help me out. Anybody know the right? Get the church carpet. Is that right? I'm telling you. If the missionary needs a car and you need a car, come on, help me out. Tell me. Get the missionary a car first. First. What? You're not just doing something for people. You're doing it unto the Lord. You're putting his things first. And oh, brother, sister, he said, you honor me? I will honor you. He'll cause it to come back in so many different ways. Can you say, I believe that too?
I mean,
I do believe that. So when he says honor the Lord, look at Jeremiah 33 before we go further. This is another one that talks just about this very thing. Can you see this in the scriptures?
Yes.
Now, really, I think you could see, we could make 5 reasons out of this one. There's enough material here. But, you know, for time's sake, we're doing it this way. But Jeremiah 33 and verse 9. Jeremiah 33:9, he's talking about restoring and blessing his people. He said, it shall be to me a name of joy. The place and people that his people he restored, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear of all the good that I do to them. Is it a witness? When people, you know, we read there in the psalm how that you declare his works before the heathen. And you know, also in the Psalms, what is 112, where he talks about the Lord has done good things for us. And he talks about the heathen were said among themselves. The Lord had been good to them. Well, that's part of our witness, is people on the outside that don't even believe in God seeing what the Lord has done for us. You know, recently, there were terrible storms in our area. And numerous ones of us, ourselves included, and people in our church were absolutely spared.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And houses and properties and things were not destroyed, weren't even damaged when something right beside it was wiped off the foundation.
Yes.
Mercy of God. We're not saying that happened because we're better than anybody else, but we do believe something that a lot of people don't believe. And that is that destruction and loss and lack is not of God. I said it's not of God, and God is able to protect.
Amen.
He's able to keep.
Amen.
And we've seen that. And that God intends that be a witness. That if somebody has a right heart, they'll see that and go, how did that happen? You know, it rained real good on your crop, and mine's right across the road. Dry as a bone. How'd that happen? My kids were sick for 3 weeks and yours never missed a day of school?
Thank you, Lord.
How did that happen? Can you see, these are ways the Lord will honor you if you will honor him. Not so you can brag about how righteous and amazing you are, because if it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, none of it would happen. But if people are open enough, they'll say, now what? What happened on that? How did that happen for you? Open door. Right? For you to say, look, it's the good Lord. I have a good shepherd. And he takes care of me. In spite of my mistakes and shortcomings. If I repent and stay with him, he takes care of me. Protects me. Blesses me. You pull up in a new vehicle. They say, man, in this economy, how'd you do that? Time to testify.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
How'd you get that house? How'd you do that? So he goes on to say, when they hear all the good that I will do to them, they will fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I procure to it. People trembling by seeing how much God blessed you. That's not because of you.
That's right.
That's because of they realize God's real.
Yes.
Huh? I know them. They're not that smart. I know. I just don't believe they could have pulled this off by themselves. And you go, you got that right. You got that right. But looking at something that is so obvious beyond what the person, the believer, could do for themselves, he said they will tremble and fear and respect and reverence for all the goodness and all the prosperity I will procure to it. Does that give God glory?
Yes.
Does that honor Him?
Yes.
And yet it's riches. Yes. And it's stuff. Is it true?
Yes.
Riches and glory.
Yes.
Glory and wealth and honor.
Yes.
Honor the Lord with your wealth.
Yes.
And He will honor you with blessing and witness.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
And our time's up again. Everybody said out loud, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome the world by faith.
I overcome the world.
I am strong in faith.
Strong.
Giving glory.
Giving glory.
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 To God.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School. Sure have enjoyed being with you again this week. The Lord's hearing and answering our prayers. At the end of the week, I like to speak and pray over all our partners. I know a lot of you are partners. Let me encourage you what we were talking about this week. If you haven't made the decision to honor God by tithing, giving offerings, putting Him first, supporting His church, His works, pray about that. Do it. Honor Him and you'll see Him honor you. And for those of you that are already partners with us, I so appreciate it. You are helping this to go all over the world. Father, I speak over our partners and those that will become partners. And I know you are not unrighteous to forget those that help your people and help further your work. Cause to come back on them. Thank you for honoring them and causing to come on them multiplied harvest and favor and grace. Thank you that the devourer is rebuked and that blessing belongs to us. I bless them by the anointing and authority in Jesus' holy name. Glory to God. Every time you think about it, open up your mouth and say, I'm increasing. We're coming up. We're doing better and better, more and more to the glory of God. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.